how to be an agnostic and why it matters. 20 short lectures by Mark Vernon, author of Science, Religion and the Meaning of Life. Lecture 10, The Sound of Silence. This is the halfway point in the lectures, and so here's a first fuller thought on something that has been lurking behind what we've been thinking about in relation to being an agnostic, with its talk of moving beyond religious figures and the search for an experience of things as they are in themselves. And that is the centrality of silence. Something remarkable happened on St. Nicholas's Day, the 6th of December, 1273. St. Thomas Aquinas, the theological genius of the medieval period, a man who had set down millions of words on matters in nature and logic, in metaphysics and morality, abruptly put down his pen. He did not write again. When begged to continue, he replied he could not because, quote, all I have written seems like straw, unquote. The reference to straw did not mean his output suddenly seemed worthless to him. Rather, straw was a metaphor for basics, like the crude material that straw is for building a house. His words now seemed like rough stuff. His goal had been to understand God. He had made many verbal attempts at the summit, but whilst his efforts had produced wonderful reflections, many that stand to this day, such as the just war theory, Aquinas had reached the point at which he was able to appreciate the most profound truth of all. The peak lies beyond the clouds. God is unknown. His silence was not a rejection, but the culmination of his life's work. Thomas's silencing is not simply to state that nothing really can be said about God. Everything possible, or at least a fair summary of everything that is possible, must be pursued before the move into silence. His silence is of a certain sort. It is not empty, but emptied. It is not a silence in which anything goes, but in which nothing goes. It is not a place of resolved or dissolved argument, but of irreversible, indissoluble argument. Thomas was not silenced, but he was drawn into silence, having spoken much. This kind of silence, then, requires much to be said, because it must be the right kind of silence. It is a point at which someone arrives. Their mind then moves upon silence, in W.B. Yeats's lovely phrase. Today, it seems to me that believers, and in fact atheists, of many flavours, forget that the first and last thing that can and should be said about God is that God is unknown. So silence, if not the first response to the divine, should be the last response and the goal of all theology and all spiritual quest. And I think this is precisely what Thomas's silence was about too. It manifests what might be called the agnostic spirit implicit in the religious quest. It's easy to sideline how radically agnostic Aquinas was about God, even as a man of faith. He argued that theology is different from science. In science, you know what you are studying, say in physics, the physical world, and its nature and scope, again in the case of physics, the universe. However, with theology, you know that it is about God, but the nature and scope of God are entirely unclear. The way all good theology proceeds, therefore, is by saying what God is not. God is immortal, invisible, unknown. Even the existence of God cannot be asserted, Aquinas thought, and neither God's non-existence. Such agnosticism is disconcerting. But putting it to one side turns theology from the pursuit of God into the construction of a deity, that is, idolatry. Why do this kind of silence theology? Many philosophers and theologians have testified that the most profound truths of existence are beyond expression. Heraclitus put it this way: words neither reveal nor hide, but rather indicate. So, words about God must be spoken, but ultimately only so a point is reached at which they stop. The final stroke of Aquinas's genius, then, was not crafted by his quill, but was conveyed by his silence.